Psalm 25 and verse 6.
Let's look at verse 1 to get the context. Psalm 25 verse 1, it's a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Now tonight, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us and guide us tonight. And Father, we bless and extol and laud your precious and holy name. And Father, we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. So Psalm 25, verse 6, David says here in verse 6, he says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. Well, what does it mean? What are one of the definitions? Most time we think we know what the word remember means. But one of the other definitions of remember that's a little bit different than what we usually think about it. One of the definitions of remember is to bear or keep in mind, to attend to. In fact, in the dictionary, Webster's 1828, one of the definitions of remember is to remember mercy is to exercise it. In other words, to remember is not just like, oh, okay, that I got to make sure that stays in my mind. No, to remember also means that you exercise something, you put it into practice, you do something with it. Take your Bible, go to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. And I say this because it's not like that God is in danger of forgetting anything. So we need to keep that in mind. It's not like God's in danger of forgetting anything. David knows that. But Habakkuk 3, look at verse 2. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. So this is not so much a matter of the ability of forgetting something. It's a matter of, in wrath, remember mercy. Like, Lord, when you have to bring down your wrath, oh God, at the same time, remember mercy. Exercise mercy. Put mercy into effect in this thing. Temper this wrath also, please, with mercy. It's a plea. All right, so when David says, remember, he says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. It's not that David has to remind the Lord lest he forget. There's no problem with that. No, David is rather beseeching the Lord to exercise, to bring to bear his mercies and loving kindnesses in his dealings with David. Okay? He's not saying that. Now, Lord, don't you forget. No. He's not saying, Lord, remember, because I know you have a tendency. Now, understand, I'm speaking tongue-in-cheek here to prove a point, to let you know what it's not. It's not like David saying, Lord, you have a tendency to forget. No, David ain't saying that. Far from it. It's not like David saying, now, Lord, you're ancient. You're the Ancient of Days. You might forget. No. What David is saying when he's saying, remember thy mercies and thy loving kindnesses. Lord, they're your mercies and loving kindnesses, which we'll see in a moment. Lord, remember them. In your dealings with me, Lord, remember those things. Bring them to bear in your dealings with me. God, as you deal with me and with others that I care about, God, remember in your dealings, remember your mercies and your tender mercies and loving kindnesses. God, exercise them. Bring them to bear in your dealings. That's what he's talking about. Not that God has the potential of forgetting something here. Go to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. It's like we would tell somebody, somebody we know that's going to have some dealings with someone, and maybe they have to be a little harsh. And we would say, now look, you remember to go a little easy now. Remember to show some, okay? So it's not remembrance in the sense of something escaping the memory. No, it's bring this into play. Exercise this in this matter also. So Jeremiah 10 and verse 24. Jeremiah 10 verse 24. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Boy, that's the truth. That's the same spirit that David's speaking in. He said, Lord, you know, look, I'm yours. And David understands chastening, and he understands that of a father and a son, and chastening and a relationship and such. He understands that in correction. But he says, Lord, in it though, remember your tender mercies. Remember your loving kindnesses. Just as in Jeremiah, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. Brethren, if God was not the God that He is, can you imagine how bad it would be? What if God was as capricious as we are? What if God was as moody as we are? What if God was like the false gods of mythology, like the gods of the Greeks and the Romans and the North, the gods of the Norsemen and all? What if He was like? What if He played games and trickery like the gods of the Vikings or the gods of Egypt or the gods of Rome? The gods of, what if He was like that? What if He played games and toyed? What if He was just as base? What if He was just as base as mortals? Because the false gods of mythology, see, since men make them, they're after man's image. And they're just as capricious, just as greedy, just as conniving, just as men are. Because they're men made them up, all right? With some devilish inspiration, no doubt. But listen, what if God was like that? Because you see, since He is God, who's going to say one thing to Him? You do realize God could be any way He wanted to be, and no one could say one thing to Him. He brought everything into His distance. Who's going to reply against Him? He's God. He could be any way He wanted to be, and who's going to say a thing? Nobody, because He is God. God could be any kind of way He wanted to be. Nobody's going to answer against it. Who's going to stand and reply and say anything against Him? Brethren, if God wanted to, He could give us what? I don't like that look. You're done. You think there are not people like that? You think they're not? He could. And what are you going to do? What if God chose not to be a merciful God? What if He was not the way He was and is? And pardon me when I say if God chose, the makeup of who God is so, I don't think we can fully comprehend completely such an entity as God is. We're able to comprehend what He allows us to, but brethren, go out there and get a square foot of dirt and look at the minute life forms that are there and look at the things and go macro or micro, all right? And look out there and realize makes you want to crawl in a hole somewhere and hide. And say, oh Lord, oh God, what a God He is. And He could be any way, but He's like He is. Brethren, you and I would not put up with what God puts up with. Amen. We wouldn't. See, brother, you know what we're always, you know what, man is always 180 degrees out from God. Yes. You see that in the way God set up time for the Jewish people, the evening and the morning of the first day, and the way we Gentiles do time. We're always 180 degrees out without God sets something up. And you know, it's like this. Man's always ready to go like, well, no, go easy with them. When God knows, no, it's violating my holiness, and boy, God brings it down. And yet man is always ready to put the hammer down, and God says no. Just like with David I talked about last week. People had a hard time figuring David out. Brother, what if God was like so many of us are, or like the false gods of mythology? That'd be a rough thing. What if God was moody and you never knew? Dealing with a moody person is rough. And if you are moody, ask God to help you not be moody. Because that is maddening. Because you never know how you're going to find the person. It's just up and down. What if one day you go to the Lord and you found Him one way, another day, but from time on end, God's always the same. His attitude towards sin's the same. His mercy is, He's always the same. Brethren, since the day I got saved, I found God the same. The day I got saved and came to know the Lord personally, I found Him just the same to this day. Just the same. In all these years, He's always still just the same. Amen. Not any different. That's a blessing. That you can go to him and he's like that. Okay, so listen. It's not that, again, it's not that David's, that God can't forget, his memory's short, or he may have to, David has to jog God's memory. No. He's just saying, Lord, in your dealings with me, remember mercy. Remember kindness. God, temper it. I need, correct me. I need it, oh Lord. Because listen, deal with me in your anger. Such a being as God, can you imagine if he poured out? You know, over here in Israel, when you look at the Dead Sea area, which undoubtedly is where Sodom and Gomorrah, that area was, it's just dead. To this day, it's just dead. It's everything dead. It's dead. God just poured it out, it's dead. One day, brethren, he's going to take it all by fire, renovate it by fire. It's going to go. It's going to go. But he's got all that power. Our God is a consuming fire. Brethren, you want him to temper his dealings with all that power that he has at his. But you know something? It's always the very strongest of men, whether in body or in character, that can afford to be the most patient. They have nothing to prove. It's a weak man. It's usually a weak man that has to throw his weight around to show it. Seriously. It's a weak man, usually in body or character, who has to always show what he can do. A man sure of himself doesn't do that. God has nothing to prove. He's God. You understand that? And brethren, he does temper his dealings with us with that mercy and that kindness. All right. So what does David desire the Lord to remember? What does David desire the Lord to bring to bear in his dealings? Look at the first thing he mentions. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Now I want you to notice something about that. Notice whose mercies they are. They're the Lord's. He said, Lord, he didn't say, remember, O Lord, tender mercies. He said, no, Lord. He says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. Thy tender mercies. See, look here. You might say to me, Brother Doss, remember mercy. Remember mercy now. All right. But to the Lord, David says, remember thy tender mercies, because they're his. See, I had to get them from him. He had to get them from no one. You understand? Right, brother, every good thing like that, I had to get from God. Yep. I have nothing of that on my own. Anything before I was saved that I had that was right, it was put into me and taught to me. And it had to be taught to me sometimes by that blows on the backside there to keep me straight and aligned. But when I got saved and born again, God imparted to me by His Spirit those fruits of the Spirit, those different things, the mind of Christ, but they're His. We get them from Him. Why? Let's just take the lost world. Do you know why even the lost can appreciate beauty? Because God imparted that ability. God imparted the ability to appreciate beauty, to appreciate wonder and awe. Listen, do you know why? Do you know why you can experience joy? Because God imparted that ability. Do you know why you can experience depression? Because God imparted that ability. Don't you ever let anybody tell you, well, depression is sin. Giving into it is sin. Letting it rule you can be sin. Experiencing it is not sin. Sometimes it's a very normal thing. You understand? Listen, in fact, if you can't be depressed of spirits at times, something's wrong with you. You understand that? Listen, if you lose someone you love, if something, a bad experience happens, if you go through, your spirits are going to be depressed. That's normal. That's normal. That's a right thing. That's a normal. In fact, the Bible so understands it that men are given time to grieve. Not today. We are all about push through, get it through, everything's fine, and just, you know, because dollars buy so many things. In the Bible, they would go through a time, a period, you know, of mourning. You get that thing out of your system and go through that. It's natural and it's normal. It's understandable. And there's a time for depression of spirits. Look at Elijah. You know what I mean? David at times didn't go through. He would encourage himself, the Lord. He didn't let it rule him. But those things are going to happen. God imparted that ability. God imparted the ability for you to experience anger in the right way and express the right way. You understand that? The reason you can get angry is because anger comes from God in the sense of God imparted that ability to us. God gets angry. All right. Joy, all those things that you have, God imparted, programmed, if you will, the ability for us to experience those things in us. The devil just likes to short circuit the wiring, get it all messed up, get you to experience joy when you ought to be have sorrow. Try to have you in sorrow when you ought to have joy. Always wants to get it all twisted up. Okay, but those things come from God. So even just with every man, God imparts things to us. The devil hates it. And he tries to turn everything upside down on its head. The ability to appreciate beauty. The devil so can rewire things. And I mean almost quite literally. You know, rewire things to where you think good is evil, evil is good. And what's ugly is beautiful. And what's beautiful is ugly. And just get everything twisted all up. All right? But as a believer, those good character traits, those fruits of the Spirit. Well, they're fruits of who? The Spirit. They're from Him. They're from God. And He imparts those to us when we get saved. The reason I'm pointing that out is, notice the Bible says, His tender mercies. We get them from Him. Brother, when you and I show mercy to someone, you know why you do that? You can do that. Because if you're saved, God's imparted mercy to you and you know about it. And He's given you that ability. When you show kindness to someone, when you show understanding, it's because God's done that with you and He's imparted that ability. You got it from Him. He got it from no one. It's just who He is. They belong to Him. They're His. Take your Bible. Go to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Young'uns, one of the best things you can do is pay attention and listen. Amen. Learn about God. Listen, when you come to church, if you're here tonight, saved or lost, when you come to church, listen, pay attention. Amen. As we're talking about your Creator and how He is, pay attention. Learn about Him. Don't get your mind elsewhere. Think about the Lord. He is all that matters. Understand that. Exodus 34, look at verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. He's holy. And He's merciful, and He's good, and He's long-suffering. He's all these things. Go to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. A false balance is not good. So listen, any way that the devil can misrepresent the Lord and produce an unbalanced picture of God is dangerous. It doesn't matter which way the balance goes. If it's off balance, it's dangerous. If you overemphasize the holiness and the fear of God and never talk of His love, what the person will just go around just in fear and like, what's the use? I can't even approach to Him. A God like that, I can't even approach to Him. If you overemphasize the love of God and never emphasize His holiness, you'll take it for granted. You'll think that He just will shrug His shoulders and pass off anything and just let everybody in. When you misrepresent God and don't present Him as the balanced God that He is, either way that balance goes does damage. It does. Listen, it grieves me, it bothers me that we live in a day and hour that even professing Christians, it's like, I don't know, Lord help us, but it's like anything about God doesn't move them. You know, my daddy told me, he goes, Jonathan, I can remember when sinners, saints and sinners, would get tore up over their condition and the Lord and who He is and all about Him. And today it's just like, and something's wrong. And I think a lot of it does extend back to where, brethren, so many people think that God is just going to, He'll let me in. You know why? They get away with everything.
Yes.
Brethren, I was able to appreciate the love of God, and by the grace of God, I've never got over it, because I understood first the holiness of God. I was taught that God was God and that he was holy. He does no wrong and he's always right and he's holy. And then I was taught that he did love us enough to give his son. And a balanced God like he is in Scripture. But look what happens today. Look what happens. In homes, no corporal punishment. So there at that most basic level, kids learn, you get your way. If you pitch a fit long enough, raise a big enough stink, you get to do what you want, you get your way. So they go to school. Used to be in school, buddy, you get that paddle. You get that paddle, it was serious business. Today, don't happen. So you don't. There's no consequences at home. There's no consequences at school. Today, very often, and my hat is so off to you guys that are in law enforcement. God bless you. What you have to put up with, how frustrating that can be. And you know, men do things, and it's like, you know, I don't deserve this. I can't believe I'm getting this, and they get off. So that's at home level, school level, local level with judges and police forces and all over this land. And then at the highest level, a nation. So what do you mean? Well, it used to be that if you came into a country, you came according to rule.
Right.
You didn't just come in. You didn't just go in the side door. You didn't just come in across the river and say, well, here I am. And think, naughty, naughty, but we'll give you benefits. Yeah. And we'll look after you. It was told, you didn't come the right way, get out. So today, you have something as big as a nation that says, well, they're here. No matter how you get here, does that not reinforce what people are already thinking about heaven? See, I think that's the great danger of illegal immigration. Not just the jobs it takes away. I'll be honest with you, that's not what bothers me. Listen to me. Well, yeah, because you're repenting this stop. That's a concern, but that's not the big concern. The big concern to me with illegal immigration is how it reinforces what men are already learning from the time they're little today all the way up. So when a nation says, well, you're here, it doesn't really matter how you got here, you get to reap the benefits. Everybody thinks, God's going to let me in. I'm going to reap the benefits of heaven. He's going to let me in. I know he will. And why should they not think so? Because every other authority they have been exposed to have done that. Every other authority from the time they're little has done that. No consequences. You get your way. They learn that. And now here's a nation does it. It just reinforces what they think about God. The thing of it is, God will not play that. He that climbeth up some other way is a thief and robber, and you're not getting in.
Amen.
You come through Jesus Christ or you don't come. That's all there is to it. God's not playing that, though man does. And it's criminal. It is criminal today what is done nationally with illegal immigration. It is criminally what is done in our court system to criminals. It is criminal what is done in our school system. It's criminal what's done in our homes. No consequences. No lack of discipline so that people do not understand. All these are building blocks to understand. These are things that are tangible, we can touch and see, to help us to understand about God and his nature and his holiness and his demand for justice and his loving kindness and all those things. But you can never appreciate the love of God until you first see the holiness of God. And I think that's why so many people today are unmoved. Brother, when I realized what God did for me, after first realizing how holy he was, then when the Spirit of God dealt with me about my condition, it just made sense to run to Christ. You understand me? It made sense to flee to him because I realized God is so holy and I'm rotten and he would do this for me. He would do this for me. I'm running to him. I'm running to him. But people aren't appreciating because they're not getting the right picture. And may God help us. All right. Psalm 62, verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. See, it's his. It belongs to him. It comes from him. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Go to Daniel 9. Daniel 9. It belongs to him. Daniel chapter 9. And verse 9. Daniel 9, verse 9. Daniel 9, verse 9. To the Lord our God be long mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. It's his. All belongs to him. He don't have to borrow it from anyone. He didn't get it somewhere else. God didn't look down on his, God did not look down at his creation and say, you know what? I see those tigers showing something that I like that. I think, no, sir. We pick things up, not God. He imparts this to all. They belong to him. That's why David says his tender mercies. Real quickly, go to Romans 11. Romans 11. Let me tell you something. What a glorious blessing it is to know the true God. To know the true and living God. Romans 11 and verse 33. Romans 11 verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. You say, Brother Dawson, I thought you said we have the mind of Christ. We do. What Romans 11 is talking about, God imparts that to us. What it's talking about is no one has imparted anything to God. No one has been God's counselor. No one has been... It all stems from him, and he imparts this to us in Christ. Mercies belong to God. We get them from him for our own benefit and to benefit others. So notice that, but look what it says. It didn't say, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercy. No. It didn't say mercy singular. It said mercies plural. And that's a blessing. Because we need God's tender mercies. Plurality. Constantly and in various and manifold ways, we need God's mercies. Not just one time, many times. Not just in one aspect, in every aspect of our life. David says, thy tender mercies. Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 17. Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Amen. Smart thing to do. Listen. How great is the sum of them. The sum of what? God's thoughts unto him, David said. And so what does the devil try to do? God don't care. God's not concerned about that in your life. That don't matter to God. It's almost a deist type thinking. Oh, he's there maybe, but he's not concerned with things. Especially not things in your life. God's not concerned. How precious are his thoughts, how, and the great sum of his thoughts towards you and me. Listen, nothing you're going through he don't know about and care about. You understand me? He knows about it all. He cares about it all. Take some sand one time and just run it through your fingers. And God's thoughts about you, concerning you, are more than those grains of sand. Yes, yes. It's uncomprehendable, really, because we can't be like that. There are people we love, and our thoughts are toward them, but not like that. And you know what's amazing? Here is a being that created all things, yet right now, we prayed tonight. And somewhere, maybe it's 11:30 in Russia, and some guy is going through the ringer, buddy, and he's calling out to God, and he's a saint who needs help. And there's somebody down in Australia, and they pulled off somewhere in a side room to pray something on their heart. And there's somebody up in Alaska, and we all get private audiences. Glory to God. Amen. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Private audience. Yeah. I've never gone into his presence and have him say, look, I'm talking to somebody else right now. It's never happened.
Amen, brother.
It's never happened.
Amen.
He's always made me feel like I'm the only person in the universe.
Yes, yes.
What a God. He is. You need to think about that. And sometimes you just need to pull off somewhere and just think about that. And just lift up a holy hands at God, because I can't say nothing about it. I can't say it to you. You're beyond words. This is unbelievable. That's what he's like. He's just good. Look here. Tender mercies. The word mercy means it is defined as an act or exercise of mercy or favor. It's that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. How many times do your saints say that? How you doing? Well, better than I deserve.
Amen.
How you doing? Well, better than I deserve. What, you know what that's the definition of? Mercy.
Yes.
Really what they're saying is, I'm a beneficiary of his mercy. How you doing? Oh, sitting under God's mercy. Doing pretty good. Because that's one of the definitions. Better than one deserves. Getting treatment better than one deserves. And that's how God deals with us. Notice his mercies. Look what it says about his mercies. They're tender. It didn't just say, remember, O Lord, mercy. It didn't just say, remember, O Lord, thy mercy. It didn't just say, remember, O Lord, thy mercies. It says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. His mercies are tender. They're tender. Now, that seems to be a nasty word with many Bible-believing Baptists today.
Yeah.
That somehow that has become acquainted with weakness, which blows my mind, because if people read their Bible, they would see that that's not the case. And David, a man who had no trouble about wielding a sword and taking somebody's head off when it was needed, and was a warrior of a man, could glory in and understand tender mercies. Not just mercies, tender. You know what the word tender means in the dictionary? Compassionate, pitiful, easily affected by the distresses of another, or anxious for another's good. Does your heart ever get moved for somebody? I'm just kind of a hard person. Well, Lord help you. We'll pray for you.
Yeah,
you need to get over it. You need some help.
Amen.
What's bad is today when you have hard women. Women throughout history have always been known as the tender, more tender, fair sex, you know. But today you got women that are hard.
Yeah,
that's not womanhood. It's not womanhood. That is something that this world has done to you that God hasn't done. There's a role reversal today. And it's not good. And it's not right. Tender. How's your heart? Got a tender heart? You ain't tenderized meat. We said it before. Now listen, if you say, God, I need to be more tender, that might take some blows. You understand that? Lord, I acknowledge I'm not tender, Lord. I'm just a little hard. I'm hard. Well, you need to be tender because your God is. There's a balance. They say a pushover, but a tenderness. Tenderness. And to achieve it, God might use some tenderizer to help produce it. Take your Bible. Go to Romans 12. Romans 12. Tender mercies. Tender mercies. Hey, not this stuff of like. Okay. I forgive you. Not that. Okay. Yeah, I guess it's okay. No tender mercies. A tenderness. A tenderness. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you ever stop to think that perhaps when someone doesn't get tender mercy, it can cause them to almost have an attitude of what's the use? Maybe if they saw some tenderness, they'd try harder to do right next time. Think about it real good. Seriously. You know, if there wasn't the ability to be forgiven from God, we would just get, what's the use? What's the use? But there's the potential for that with the Lord. And a lot of times people should, but listen, mercy that's like, okay, I forgive you. Okay, wow, okay. Not a lot of impetus there to want to try to do. I mean, I'm serious. I'm just saying, listen to me. You do right before God. But the way we can kind of help things right, God has tender mercies. You know something? Maybe to tell somebody sometime, yes, I forgive you. God's forgiven me. I don't know where I'd be without his forgiveness and his mercy, and you're asking me for it, and I readily grant it. In fact, I want to tell you something. Don't even bring it up again.
Right.
Not only should you not bring it up as ammunition a month, a year, a week later, whatever.
Right.
You should tell them.
Yes.
Don't even bring it up again. You should tell them. Don't even bring it up again. Now listen. Done. And don't bring it up again.
Right.
Don't bring it up. They'll come next week and say, you know, I'm just feel so ashamed. Hey, I don't hear it. It's done. So not only should you not bring it up, you should tell them not to bring it up. And remember, Jesus said, how many times in a day?
Right.
That's why they said, Lord, increase our faith. And we need it. But brother, I'm just saying, David praises God for his tender compassion, his tender mercies, his tender mercies. Not just showing mercy, but doing it with tenderness. Take your Bible very quickly. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You understand? Charity suffers long, it's kind. Not just suffers long, it's kind about it. But a lot of people do certain things with an attitude. Okay? I mean, I'm here. Yeah, but what's your attitude like? Charity suffers long and is kind. It tries to go that extra step of saying, you don't worry about a thing. You ain't causing me no trouble. You're not putting me out. It has a good attitude. It doesn't just do right. It does right with a good attitude. That's charity. Charity suffers long and is kind. What does the Bible say next? It says, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity. It's not just doing right, it's doing it with a right attitude.
Amen.
Kindness. All right? Go to Colossians 3 real quick. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 12. How's your spiritual wardrobe looking? I'm not trying to be sarcastic. God, I love you. Love you. I'm talking to myself. But how's your spiritual wardrobe? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How's your spiritual wardrobe? You got some kindness in there? You got some mercies and some kindness? Listen. Brother Doss, the way people have done me, okay, but this is God telling you to be kind. What has He done against you?
Amen.
Name me one thing where God's done you wrong.
Right.
Tell me one thing where God's done you wrong. Then can't you be kind for His sake? Can't you be merciful? Can't you be forgiving? Can't you be kind for Jesus' sake? Take your Bible. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Verse 8. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Man, I don't mean this in the wrong way. But sometimes I wonder if King James Bible believers, if the only thing they know is they know where the Bible is. And I'm not trying to be mean and nasty. I'm not trying to, but I am telling you, sometimes I wonder because I don't understand it. I read my Bible. I know we need all help from God. God help us all. But these things are right. I can understand somebody saying, oh, y'all, pray for me. I know these things are right, and I see such a need of it in my life. But to go and make fun of it or pretend that it's not a good thing?
Right.
Huh? Now, I don't get that at all. Something ain't right. To go and have attitudes contrary to what the Bible plainly says here and look at it as a good and a noble thing? Something ain't right. Something ain't right. Let's stick with the book. What else does David say? He said, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies. What else belongs to God? And thy loving kindnesses. Loving kindnesses. Once again, plural. The word loving kindness means tender regard. It means favor. loving kindnesses. Well, we probably need to ask, when's the last time somebody accused us of being having loving kindness? Fellas, I want to tell you something. Look here. Too many men today have been trained that that ain't a good thing. Listen, God wants a man to always be a man. Always. Always. He wants a man always to lead. He wants a man always to square up and to do what's right. You understand that? But loving kindness. Loving kindness. David said, Lord had it. We're supposed to have it. Well, you're just an old salt, huh? No, you're not. It's an excuse. Excuse to hide your lack of manhood. Say what you want. Loving kindness. That's what the book says. Take your Bible. Take your Bible real quick. Go to Psalm 36. The Lord woos and draws by His loving kindness. Go to Psalm 36. Who in their right mind would woo a woman like this? Hey! Big mouth! Get in the car! Can you imagine? Well, the door's locked. Well, get in through the window. Unless you won't fit. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man wooing a woman like that? I'm serious. Can you imagine a woman saying, man, we're going to get some burgers. You're just thin. Well, a whistle, a wind blow you away. Boy, I tell you what. Can you imagine a man wooing a woman like that by saying things that would be hurtful to her? Can you imagine? Can you imagine a man wooing a woman? That's a man wooing a woman without being kind. If you can win her that way, I'd be scared to win that one. You loving kindness. That's how God draws and woos us, and I'll prove it to you. And that's how a man does with a woman if he's got any sense and she's worth having. You kind. You know, can you imagine? Let's go out to eat. Okay, two bills. I thought you were asking me ID. Well, I did. That's how I was going to pay for it. Well, I didn't bring any money with me. I don't know, call your dad. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Not much loving kindness there. That's not how you draw and you woo. And I know I'm being extreme about this, but think about it. Look, take your Bible, Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. How excellent is thy what? Loving kindness. Look what it says next. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Why do the children of men put their trust under the shadow of the Lord? And why? Because of his loving kindness. Because of his loving kindness. Why would a woman put herself under the shadow of a man's wing if she's got any sense? Because he's got some kindness to him. He's got some kindness. Didn't you find out that you had to be careful because her feelings could be easily hurt? Some of you grinning. I see, you found out, you know what? You could easily hurt her feelings. Because she's a tender woman. That's what women are supposed to be. And there's a tender, loving kindness a man is to have. And you know why? You put your trust under her shadow. She puts her trust under you because she feels like you're going to treat her good. You're going to treat her good. I know a lady. This man told me. He said, you know what my mother-in-law asked my wife when we, for the first visit we came back? I said, no. She said, the first time we came to visit her relatives, he goes, my mother-in-law looked at my wife and said, well, has he hit you yet? That's horrible. Yeah, no, he's not hitting me. It's like, he's not, no. Good to me, It's like, can you imagine that? Not good. And so loving kindness, that's what, a woman wants to feel that loving kindness. Well, the Lord, that's why he draws and woos us by that. Take your Bible, go to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Verse 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. How does God draw loving kindness? Loving kindness. And brother, look here. I'm not talking about compromising. I'm not talking about not being as we should be as men. But there should be loving kindness there because God has it. And if God uses it to draw, don't you think He would use it in our lives to draw folks to Him? He draws by loving kindness. If any man's got any sense, he'll express that if he's going to woo and draw a woman to him. All right, look here. You say, well, just real quick. Well, you talk about this mercy and you talk about this loving kindness. Well, Brother Dawes, I've not seen much of it in my life from the Lord. No, I haven't. Okay, have you looked for it? Have you looked for it? Or have you been so eat up about you? You. And how everything goes wrong for you, and how everything that you can't see how good God has been and is being to you. Clothes on your back, food in your mouth, people that pray for you, people that love you. Oh, now, God has been good and is being good to you.
Yes.
Let me ask you something. Have you walked in truth? Go to Psalm 26. God's good to you.
Amen.
You possibly can't see it because you're too self-centered. God's good. Psalm 26, look at verse 3. David says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, try my reins and my heart. I mean, have you been walking in truth? Take your Bible real quick and go to Jeremiah 16. Just a couple more things. Jeremiah 16. I mean, he's good to you, but how you been walking? How you been walking? Jeremiah 16, verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercies. Whoa. This ain't good. Look at the two things David asked for that God said he's taken away from them. He said he's taken away loving kindness and mercies. Well, why? Why would he do that? Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore will I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. God says, David said, Lord, remember your tender mercies, remember your loving kindness. God says to Jeremiah, to the people, I've taken them away. I've taken away my loving kindness. I've taken away my mercies. Well, why? Because you have walked after other gods. You've done just what you want. You've not walked in my ways. You've turned back. Those are the reasons why. Listen, if you think the Lord's not been good to you, how good you been to God?
Right. Amen.
How much time? Listen, how much? God does things for other people. How much time do you try to spend His word?
Right.
How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time you spend trying to do right for Him and search yourself and ask God to examine you? No, don't you start that stuff.
Amen.
God's good.
Amen.
He's good to us even when we're lost, even when we're... God's good. Don't you throw that thing on my God. You can put it against me or anybody, but not my Lord. He's good.
Amen.
And if you don't think He's been good to you, it's either that you can't see it because you're so self-centered or you're walking contrary to Him.
Amen.
There's no other way about it. He's good. Then with loving kindnesses and in mercies. Go back just a minute. Let me ask you this. As far as loving kindnesses and mercies, have you shown it to others? Have you shown loving kindness and mercy to others? I mean, the Lord says, with the froward who show himself froward, with a merciful man who show himself merciful, it may be God's treating with you as you treat others. You're not merciful, God's going to show you none. You don't have tender mercies and loving kindness to others, don't look for none from him. He's dealing with you as he finds you and you deal with others. So look here. You want God treating you like you treat your wife? Do you want God treating you like you treat your husband? You want God treating you like you treat your children? You want God treating you like you treat your parents? I'm serious now. Lord said, with a merciful, he'll show himself mercy. With a froward, he'll show himself froward. There is no problem with our Lord. He desires, if you only knew how bad the Lord desires to do you right and good and merciful and kind and the things, if you only knew how bad he wants to. But it's not the Lord's fault. He's not like the false gods. He's not capricious. Listen, when we walk contrary to him, what do we expect to happen? Listen, real quickly, Psalm 103, and then we'll about close it up. Psalm 103. I tell you what, if you think the Lord hadn't been good to you, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of, surely you wouldn't admit such a thing. Surely you wouldn't. Psalm 103, verse 10. Psalm 103 and verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Why? Folks, since I've been saved, I've given God every reason he could ever want to take me out. If God was just waiting for the opportunity to take me out, he had plenty of reason. I've given him plenty of excuse. I've given God plenty of reason to deal very firm and harsh with me and take me out. Come on, brother. Stubborn. Self-willed. The problems of the flesh at times. Pride. Come on, brother. If God was looking for an opportunity, I'd give it to him, and so have you. But he's got me here, and he's got you here. And he's merciful, and he's full of loving kindness. And we need to ask God to help us to see it and appreciate that. Final thing, look at Psalm 25, verse 6. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses. For they have been ever of old. Wow. Ever of old. All the way back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Noah. All the way back. Look here. Adam and Eve. I'll make you coats of skins. I'll cover your nakedness. You're going to have to leave the garden. And you're going to have to till the ground. But I'm going to give you children. I'm going to tell you, I've made a way here to cover your nakedness and make you presentable for me. Cain and Abel, look here. God accepted Abel's offering. Then he tried to deal with Cain. In the days of Noah, the long serving. I mean, brother, God is always, from the start, been full of loving kindnesses and mercies. Listen, Psalm 136. Psalm 136, and this is what we close up with as far as our scripture. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. And to him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. You think his mercy endures forever? It definitely does. And you know what? The psalmist here makes a list of all the things that remind his mercy endures forever. I could say, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. To him who put clothes on my back this morning, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who allowed me to eat that good meal this afternoon my wife fixed, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who has given me a precious wife who means the world, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who allows me to be with brethren and sing the precious hymns of the faith, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who has allowed us to have a roof over our heads, for his mercy endureth. I mean, come on, brethren, we're going to start and stop. I could just personalize that psalm and continue it on down with the same refrain. For his mercy endureth forever. Might not hurt you to do that. Might not hurt you as a legacy, maybe to leave your family, I don't know, to write down one of your own. And just borrow the refrain from Psalm 136. About all the good things God's done and is doing for you. For his mercy endureth forever. And just personalize the thing. Listen. Since his mercy does endure forever, that means there's an ever abundant supply for you and for me. But will you take advantage of it? Will you avail yourself of the loving kindness, the tender mercies that God has ever in abundant supply for you and I? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Dear God, thank you for your mercy does indeed endure forever. Lord, I know I'm not worthy to say this. Lord, I know I need help. But Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Again, Lord, I'm not worthy to say that, but Lord, I love you. You're so good, Father. Oh, Lord, help me, dear God, to love you as I ought. Help me, Lord, to always realize, Lord, that your love is ever true. And Lord, help me, dear God, to not allow the enemy to so sway my thoughts, Lord, that I get so self-centered that I can't see your hand, your hand of mercy and goodness all around. Oh, Father, please help us. Help us, Father, to stop and examine where we're looking. At ourselves or our problems, or the Lord looking to thee. Father, if we would do so, we would see that your mercies indeed endure forever. And Lord, we could joy in that and find strength in that. Father, I pray you'll help us to contemplate these things. Lay it to our heart. Pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings. We pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.